No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what is up, everybody? It is your host, Nicole Mendez. Welcome back to Diamond in the South. This is SEC Softball, a Softball America podcast. This is just one of many podcasts on the Softball America Network, so make sure you don't only like and subscribe to this podcast, but all of them as well. There's a lot of really, really fun things happening as softball season is kind of coming to a head for conference, and we've officially hit the point where each series, not only are the best ones, but these are the ones that feel like postseason, like the pre-postseason. It's coming. We all know it's headed this way, but this week it is about top tier tension that's been going on. Texas A&M, they hold on to the best overall record in conference at 40-6. Overall record at 40-6, riding a 13-4 SEC run. Oklahoma and Texas are right behind them at 13-5. They are going to be matching up this weekend. Every single game this weekend is going to be a shuffle up in the standings. Arkansas, they're on a 4-game win streak. They're trying to heat up, trying to get into the top eight, trying to select themselves, solidify themselves, not only for tournament, but for postseason as well. And Florida's freshman, Taylor Schumacher, she dropped a 6 RBI game against Bama. She kind of lulled through the middle of conference, but she's been coming up loud and proud. But before we get into too much, I have to introduce the one, the only, Coco Woolley. She is our today's guest here on the pod. She is basically Aggie royalty. She's a senior infielder for Texas A&M. Had a dominant week this weekend to secure a series win against Mizzou. I was searching you up, and your fifth in career hits for the A&M program. Your spark plug. You look like you've been embracing every single moment so far this season. Like, tell me a little bit about what this year has been like for you.
This year's been super fun. I've just never gotten along with a group like there. There's 24 of us, so this is is like the biggest team I've been on in my career. So like, it's crazy how much we get along, like on and off the field. Like, we're hanging out together, we're going to eat together. Obviously, we're at the field together, we're playing together. But it just makes every day feel like we're celebrating something. Like, it's a party every day. Like, even at practice, we have fun. Like, we're locked in, but we're having fun. So that's just been, I've leaned on my teammates a lot this season. And that's one thing I wanted to work on, is leaning on my teammates when I felt like my back was against the wall. And they've helped me through a lot. So this year has been, they've made it easy. Let's say my teammates have made it so easy.
And that's not an easy thing to do, I think, as an elite athlete. I know the conversation around not just mental health, but just being able to create culture. That has been really, I feel like the past several years, a lot of softball teams and sports in general have talked about that. And it's, especially in a team sport, it's so easy to have that team mindset on the field. Whenever it comes to off the field, it's like, I got to handle this. I got to take care of business. I have to do this. And leaning on teammates, like, that is not always an easy thing to do. What kind of made you feel like, all right, this is a team that I can really go, hey, like, dude, I need some help this week, or hey, like, I'm struggling?
I feel like our little locker room talks. We're open to each other, so it's easy to go to anyone on the team. It's not like, oh, I can't go to this person because they're going to think this. I feel like I could go to and even our freshmen, anyone on our team, and they're going to be more than willing to listen to me, help me in any way that I need help. So I just feel like being like we're very vulnerable with each other. And like I said, hanging out outside of softball helps that like aspect of it a lot because we're talking about things other than softball, not related to softball. And even like our roommates on the road, they change every single road trip, it's a different roommate. So I feel like getting to know each other, like you're in a room together for like 3, 4 days. So it's like you have to get to know each other. You can't just sit and ignore each other, not speak. So I feel like it's really like the little things, like not the softball aspect of things, just being able to talk to each other about other things. So it makes it easy to be vulnerable with each other.
Yeah, I mean, culture is such a big piece of it, and obviously, you've seen teams, I've seen teams where the talent is there. You're like, dang, they're so
Yes.
talented. But if the synergy is not there, they fall apart in those big moments, they break apart. And I feel like that's been the biggest difference for y'all this year. I mean, the come from behind wins. Y'all have, I don't even know if you know this, you probably don't, but you have had 15 come from behind wins this year. Like, it's insane. And I
That's
think
crazy, yeah.
like
It's
it's
crazy.
insane. And I think that speaks to kind of what you're talking about with whenever you trust each other, whenever you're close with each other, you're tight off the field. That stuff shows on the field. It makes such a big difference. So I remember coming up to A&M this past fall and kind of I got to see you. I got to see the team, did some interviews, got to talk to coaches. And one of the things coaches were talking about were like, we're gonna look different this year. Like we're a young team. We've lost some of our power, which is so ironic because you guys are fine. Obviously, you guys are fine. But at that time, they were just talking a lot about we need to create a team, a new identity as a team in this fall to help us in the spring. Was there anything specific that y'all have done to really just solidify this is our circle and no one else comes in?
I just feel like we take disrespect to the chin, all of us. So, yeah. So when we feel disrespected, our group chat, it's criminal. So, but like anytime we feel disrespected, like we're texting each other immediately. Like, boom, so and so happened. Okay, like I said, we're gonna take it to the chin and we're gonna show you. So I feel like that, like, and I can say this group of girls, we're all crazy in our own different ways. Like no one's just normal. Like I feel like last year we had a couple that were just normal. They loved school, like things like that. Most of us love softball. So it's like we're bat crap crazy. But yeah, so that I feel like that helps us and motivates us is when it's not just one of us feeling disrespected. Like even if players that we have special teams, and so like players that run the bases for us in big moments, even them, they are coming to us and like mad, and we're like, oh, like y'all are fired up. So then it's like, well, y'all are fired up, we're gonna be fired up about it. So I feel like it's a sisterhood. Like that's the biggest thing. Like we have a really good sisterhood.
Okay, talk to me a little bit. A couple weeks ago, Coach Ford kind of went viral. She was giving like a post game interview, and she's talking about the idea of fun and how hard work is such a fun idea and how you have to buy into that. And first time you listen, you're like, but like the ones that get it, you're like, it is fun. Like you said, we're all crazy about softball. It is fun to go out there. It is fun to grind. Like it's hard work and that's what makes it fun. Was that like that last year? What is it like this year? Like, how's that?
I feel like it's different than I would say this year than last year, just because this year, like I said, we get along so well. So it's easier to handle the hard. Like no one's going into their little shells or anything, or like into their little like their friends or going to like their friends, and we're all coming together. Like we're all hurting, we're all dying, like we're going to get through this together. And another big thing is every year we do a little triathlon thing.
Ooh,
You know,
yeah.
yeah, you
Girl, I know. I know.
You know, so they started that
Andrea.
when they came last year. No, when they came, no, not when they first came, the year after. We started that last year. So I feel like that brings us together even more because it's a week of just grind, like a week of just grind. Like one day you'll run, one day you'll do like the weight room stuff.
Oof.
I feel like the campus run is the worst, but
How long
that's
do
my
you
thing.
run?
It's a 4 mile run and you can't stop unless you're at like a little, you get clues. So you're getting clues running around campus. That's what makes it fun. Like
Yeah.
you're not just dying. But this year they made us run like with a string, like connected.
Like there's a string, 4 miles of string.
Yeah. And we were all holding it. And mind you, we
You
have costumes on because yeah, it's like we have like a theme, like you have to wear a costume. It's a big thing. So that's what makes it fun, is like
Yeah.
they're thinking like they're making it hard, but like they're really just really irritating us. And like, why are we doing this? But then it makes it funny. Like you have to
Yeah.
learn our war hymn, and after the 4 mile run, you have to sing the war hymn all together in unison.
Oh my
So yes,
gosh.
it's like, and you then we had a bake off. So like we practiced like we baked
Oh.
together. Yeah. So it's like a week full of, you have to like, there's different teams. There's like four or five different teams, but it's a week full of you being with that group of people, getting to know that group of people, and learning how to work together. Don't, like, even though you may be different in like different areas, like learning how to work together. Like for one of our things in the triathlon, when we had to run during the campus run, is you had to do like a math problem. So like everybody had like a math genius, and like the rest of us are looking like, yeah. She's like, I
It
can do this. Like one of my teammates on my team, she's like, I can do this one, and she was all excited. So like that's what makes it fun
Who's your
and
math
like
person?
enjoyable. So it makes practice and games, like practice makes the games easier. Like you said, like I didn't even know that, but we came back, we're like 15 comebacks or whatever. Like we never think we're out of a game because
Yeah.
we went through the trenches and we made it.
Yeah,
So
girl, nothing like a good trauma bond, right?
yes,
You're like, we're like
yes. Yeah,
this
like we're
now.
like this. Yes. Yes.
I love that. Well, I think one thing that I've just really enjoyed is just seeing that synergy, seeing that environment where it looks like you guys want to be together, like obviously on the field, but like even off the field, like them Aggies on TikTok, like I love y'all's TikToks. Like, tell me, what's the story behind that? Like every time I see it, I'm like, maybe a repost
So,
every now and then.
yes. So we like, I feel like there's a good group of us that like we have our own little fan bases, like where we're famous, whatever, like what we call famous.
Yeah.
But she was like, it was Kylie, like Kylie Griffin. She was like, guys, like, because she doesn't really like posting on hers, like she'll post every now and then, but she's like, guys, like let's make one all together. Like I'll do the password, whatever, and then when we graduate, whatever, we just pass it down. And she was like let's make one all together, and like we can make TikToks together and we all get famous. And then it's like, when you all get famous, NIL. And we're like, then NIL, we be
Yeah.
famous. So we're like, bro, like it was just like this whole big thing, but it's so much fun. Like it really is so much fun. And like I feel like them Aggies is so authentic.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we're not, we do change that, like we actually do.
Yeah.
Like though, I think the funniest one was when we were like yapping. We were all sitting in the thing yapping, and we had like someone recorded, and it was like, girl, like we just want, what's wrong with girls talking or whatever. It was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a recent one, but yes, we love each other. Like these are my girls. Like senior weekend's this weekend, and I'm dreading going to the field on Sunday. So
Are there any traditions that y'all do senior weekend for y'all?
not really, other than like they make all the girls like talk on a little video for us, and
Oh.
I'm like, why? Then our parents talk or whatever, like they have a
Oh.
video. Yeah, well, we used to have this little tradition, like we made scrapbooks, and it was just like everybody made a page for each of the seniors. I
Yeah.
don't know if they're gonna do it for us. I don't know. I don't really,
Yeah.
we don't know
You you're
anything.
not in the know. You're not
Yeah,
in the
like I'm
know.
not in it
Everything's a
anymore,
surprise.
but we had scrapbooks, and like that was like one of the big traditions. So like you
Yeah.
have a scrapbook full of pictures where you can go back and just look at you and all your teammates. Like, everybody else that wasn't a senior made one. So that one was really cool to me.
Yeah. Oh, you used to do that as well. I remember walking into locker room, seeing it, and just being like, I cannot open this until after the game. I already did my game day makeup. Like, I'm going to start crying. Like, nobody look at me. Nobody hug me. Like, don't do it. After
and
the
they
game,
keep asking me. They keep asking me at practice. Guys, we're like, y'all, we don't feel anything right now, so stop.
stop it, because you're gonna make me feel something.
Like, let it go, let it go. But
oh man, have they? Especially the younger ones. I got this whenever I was a senior, but there was always a, this is your last series. Like, this is your last first. I'm like, stop.
They started with, this is y'all's last first fall game. I'm like, yo, bro, it's the fall. Like, calm down. Like, calm down. Why?
Yeah. I guess, like, kind of staying on that vein a little bit, though. Like, I know whenever you get to senior year, like, there is that reflection period a little bit. If you look back and you're like, dang, freshman year me could never even imagine, like, what I know now, how I've grown. Like, they would be so impressed. Like, is there something... Yes. If you're looking back at freshman year, you're like, I never would have guessed I would have been this way.
Yes. I'm a very passionate player. We could say that.
So no, like, way.
I'm very like, I want to get on base every single time. I believe I get out when I get myself out, unless you strike me out, like, I'll change it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you
but like, it's like, okay. Like, tip of that. But like, I want to be perfect. So one of my biggest thing, like, I'm still working on it now to this day, is after just accepting failure, not even failure, taking failure as a lesson, like learning from my failure. And I, like, honestly, these past, like, I went through a little slump. Everyone was like, it wasn't even that bad. And I'm just like, for y'all, it wasn't that bad.
But for me, yeah.
Like, you're still hitting this. I'm like, I don't even care about what I'm hitting. Like, I want to be on base. Like, I want to run the bases. I want to steal bases. Like, I just want to be on base. Like, walk me.
I just want to be on base.
Like, I just want to be on base. Like, I want to help the team win. I want to feel like I'm helping the team win.
Yeah.
So I went through, like, it was probably like 2-3 weeks, and I was just down, and I just kept kept hurting myself. And, like, getting down and down. So I literally, like, a week or two ago, I sat down and I told myself, I was like, this is it. How it ends is up to you. You control your success and you control how you handle failure. Yeah. And I kind of just told myself, like, this isn't your life. Like, I kind of just, like, girl, you're about to go in the real world in a year. Like, this isn't your life. So... I kind of just flipped a switch, and I feel like I'm more successful in that mindset of, okay, I grounded out to the first baseman, going to talk to a coach. Hey, was like, was it an inside pitch and I was just early, or was it a away pitch? I was early. Did I let it get in on me? Like just kind of like game planning my next at bat. So like, that's helped me a lot. Like, it's helped me a lot. So that's one thing that I look back and I'm like, I would have never flipped a switch. Just like, today's going to be the day that I change that. So like, I'm kind of proud of myself in that part of it too.
Yeah. I mean, that's not easy to go like, I mean, everybody's like, oh yeah, just like, stop it.
You're
like,
yeah, right.
Stop it. Just stop it. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But you keep telling yourself, like, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it. And you're just procrastinating.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow. 7 a.m., 7:05, 7:15, you know, it's that alarm that you keep resetting a little bit farther and farther. Yes. I think that's one of the hardest things, though, is just being able to take that time out. And whenever you're in a slump, or whether you're feeling in a funk or whatever it is, to actually take the time out. Like, it's so easy to fall into the, okay, there's this, there's that, I'm frustrated in that, but like, to stop and physically go, okay, distractions out, let's lock in, let's see, like, what is it from like, just a factual point of view, what is it, how can I fix it, what do I need to do, like, emotionally, where do I need to stay and kind of proceed from there and kind of make adjustments. Like, that is so hard to do, especially whenever you're so emotionally invested in, like, you. I played the same way, like, so passionate, and there's just a lot of emotion behind it. Sometimes it's hard to be like, wait, pause, time out. Okay, now we can go. Right?
Yeah, now we're good.
Well, I just have a couple more questions for you, but one thing that I love and this year I started doing, I've just been like in these interviews, I've just been talking to some of the best athletes. You're one of them. And whenever you get to a certain level, there's an IQ that comes with it. I will never forget stepping onto Oklahoma's campus my freshman year, first week of practice, and I felt like there was like bullets flying by my head. I'm like, everything's going so fast. I'm like, I can't keep up. I can't keep up. And I think about all those athletes that are going to be freshmen that are watching these games and they're going like, man, like I want to be there one day. And sometimes you don't even know the IQ questions. Sometimes you don't even know what to learn. Right. And that's the biggest shift, I think, from good players to the best.
Yes.
So for you, IQ question wise, is how much does actually trusting your teammates and holding yourselves at, I got some balloons going on. How much does trusting your teammates and trusting them to the level where you can hold each other accountable, does that even play a factor into game IQ? Does it help the team? Like, where do you think that falls?
I feel like it helps the team, yes, in a way. Because when you can hold each other accountable, you're also learning. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like yesterday at practice, we kind of changed like our cuts. So when our left fielder is going back, I go cut. When our left fielder is coming up, our third baseman is the redirect. Mm-hmm. At that point, she's the redirect. And so I didn't go out. And I was like, wait, like, I thought that was you. And she was like, no, Co, like, that's you when you're going out. Like, remember, like, when she's going out, it's you. So I feel like she, like, and she also has, like, a high softball IQ. So it's like, I feel like when you know the game and you can feel the game, because I was really confused. I was like, I don't know where the, like, because the ball was, like, right in front of the warning track. So I'm like, is that, like, deep? Is that, like, what? And so I feel like knowing the game and having a feel for it in that aspect helps not only you, like a person themselves, but it helps your teammates, and you're helping your teammates learn. And you holding your, like, her holding me accountable for that is helping our freshman KK at second base. Okay, when she's going back, I have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have to go. So I feel like in that aspect, it's helping all around, like,
right.
And anything that helps all around makes you better. So,
yeah. Total team mindset, total team vibe. I love it.
Yes.
Let's talk about your left side, because you guys are so fun to watch. I feel like you guys, I think you mentioned this in the fall, but you said we've morphed into one person at this point. Like, you guys are the same.
Yes.
At the conversations that y'all have, defense, let's get into defense IQ. Like, what is really taking your defensive game to the next level, really helped you grow, helped the left side grow, all of that?
I'll start with me personally. Just, I didn't realize that, like, knowing hops on a ball, like, helps you so much. So I took that personally and kind of, like, worked on that in an off season. Like, different angles, like, different moves. Like, okay, it's top spin, step back. It's not top spin. You have to go forward. It bounces right in front of the home plate. So it's like, I feel like stuff like that I worked on, and it helped me a bunch, because I feel like I'm at my best right now on the field. And even like just working on your weaknesses, like knowing your weaknesses and working on them and being okay with the fact that, okay, this is my weakness. I don't care if I fail that in practice. I want to perfect it in the game. So like, that's one big, like, my biggest thing ever is like, work on your weaknesses. Don't be afraid to. Because when I was as freshman, I was scared. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm not good at it. Who cares? You're in practice. Work on it. It's something that you want to be good at.
Okay. So talking about weaknesses, and you're saying like, there's a point where, okay, I'm scared. I don't even want to go near that topic. Yes. I don't even want to look at that, whatever that skill might be. But finally, I'm at a point where I do want to learn. I want to approach it. But you talked something about in the off season, you talked a little bit about, okay, I see topspin. I see it's bounced right in front of the plate. Like, where does that learning come from? Is that just from repetition? Is it from learning, talking to other people, coaching? Where do you get that?
Honestly, I learned that from when Coach Ford and then first came, we had Joe Guthrie. And he's big on like technique and like the little things. So like we would do things like get on a big tire, jump off the tire, read the hop and have to like, the jump off the tire was like our pre-pitch.
Yeah.
Then you're reading the hop and going to get the ball. Or just little moves, like he'll put us like in a little triangle. And like I said, the step back, we would have to step back this way, move forward this way. So it's like he just made different moves that you take into the game and you're not even thinking about it because you're doing that move every day. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that kind of helped me. And like there, like one drill was we had to just like stand stationary and count the hops. 1, 2, all the way until we caught it. And we hated it. But you're like now, yes. But now I'm like, oh, like that makes sense. And that's like you said, as a freshman coming in, like I'm just athletic. Like I don't really know that. Like I'm just learning. But so I feel like from him, that's kind of helped me. And I just kept doing the things because I was so successful with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I love that. I mean, that's huge. That's such a big thing of like, just, yeah, I'm athletic. Like that's what I've always been.
Yeah.
How do you take it a step further? Cause there's so many talented athletes out there. So I love that. But last question for me, I just wrapping it up, just having like the joy of being with a team that you love, the joy of actually playing the game and loving it, you know, and just being here where your feet are. What has been the best part about this year for you? Just being in the present, being an Aggie, a senior, just having the year.
Really just try like getting to see our freshmen grow. Like it's just genuinely like I got the chills right now. Like it's just genuinely like awesome. Like
yeah.
From the girls that have had a chance to play to even the ones that like I only get to see them in practice. Like it's to see their growth and like be able to like kind of have that mindset of like, oh, this is what coaches see. This is what coaches mean. Like, and it's kind of like, it makes me sad because it's like, wow, like my time's here, but it makes me so happy for them. Like even one girl, I was like, she wants to get stronger. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. And you're lifting twice a day all summer. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay. She's like, no, you're going to forget about me after this year. Girl, no, I'm not. I was like, no, I'm not. One, I'm going to be here because I have to graduate next year. Two, like, why would I, like, I'm going to forever support Texas A&M softball. Like, what are you talking about? And she was like, okay. And so it's just, like, funny things like that. And just enjoying, like, just enjoying it. Like, being able to just sit back, you're, like, because our leaders are juniors. Our coaches made, like, they have, like, a little thing. So, like, our leaders who come to them about everything, who tell them everything, who they go to about everything is our juniors. Because our seniors just, like, they just want our seniors to be able to have fun. And so, like, just being able to, like, have fun and enjoy it and just genuinely soak in the 12th man has just been amazing. Like, it's, yes, makes me emotional. But, like, it's just fun. Like, I just love it here. So it's just fun to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the words that would run through my head a lot in whenever I was a senior, our class kind of talked about was just like legacy. Like what is your legacy? Like what did you leave during your time here at this program? I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you have an idea of like, what is your legacy that you've left? Not necessarily on the game of softball, maybe it is, but more so on the 12th man, on your teammates, on this Aggie program?
I learned myself, just smile, like a smile, like having a big smile on your face goes a long way. Fans love it. Your coaches love it. The atmosphere, it makes the atmosphere better. So I would just say like being happy. I'm a goofy person. So just every day, like even on my bad days, I'm being goofy. Just feel like my legacy is to have fun, like, and work hard, even if like people don't think you do. Work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like that would be it.
Love that. I mean, whenever energy is infectious, whenever yes. you're smiling, like everyone's having yes. a good time. And if you're yes. working hard, like it's for you. Yes. It's not for anybody else.
Anybody
it doesn't
else.
Matter what they think. Yeah. yeah.
Yes.
And it's going to show. And who cares if you think I'm working once a day or once a month? Like it yes. doesn't matter.
I know what I'm doing at the end of yeah. the day. Yes. Yeah. I had to learn that myself too.
Yeah.
But. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hard lesson, but whenever you yes. learn it, man, it's free,
yes.
right?
Yes, it yeah. is.
Well, Coco, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on, just chatting with me,
yes.
having the smile, just all of it, everything. I can't wait to watch you guys this weekend.
Yes.
Man, first number one ranking in program history, a lot of fun that this Aggie team is having. They're you guys are a team to watch, so
yes.
I can't thank wait. You. I can't wait to follow you guys the rest of the season.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Yes.
Good girl.
Bye.
And this is the, this is one of the best things about college softball is seeing that right there, that growth that Coco has had, the energy that she's able to spread to her teammates, the memories that she's been able to make. All that goes onto the field. All that spills over as a player, as a team. It makes me as an analyst, as a fan, as a former player, I see that. I notice that. I understand it. And I think in some level, everyone does. And that resonates. And that's why A&M, they have been playing so well. It doesn't matter if you're the most talented team or the least talented team. Synergy will take you far. You have to have talent. And I think Trisha Ford has done a phenomenal job just getting this Aggie team in a couple of years, like such a short time span since she's been at A&M, but in a very few years, just being able to get this team talent-wise to the level that it needs to be. I mean, Texas A&M, it's iconic. There's a ton of talent in Texas that she can recruit from the U.S., in the South that she can recruit from, but the energy and the synergy of a team, that is hard, hard, hard to build. Programs that are able to replicate that year after year, they tend to have a lot of success. I'm really excited with what I'm seeing with Texas A&M. As always, make sure you like and subscribe. This is Diamond in the South. I'm your host, Nicole Mendez. Keep making sure that you're commenting. I love to see your comments. I want to address any questions that you guys might have, SEC softball or just softball in general. So make sure you leave your comments down below, which brings me to a question that I do have for y'all. Who do you think is going to finish out this season with the biggest bang? Because this part of season, I kind of mentioned it earlier on in the intro, but this part of the season is where you start to see postseason play start to come alive. Even though it's not technically postseason yet,
you start to see teams playing like they're in postseason. And this is something I mentioned way back in February, but the teams that peak in February, it is hard to maintain that the entire season through conference, through postseason. What you want to have is a slow build, a slow gradual climb. And I think the teams that have that, they're able to kind of maintain their momentum a little bit easier. They don't get burnt out. They're not as tired. They're a little bit sharper. They're more focused. They feel that momentum pushing them and propelling them forward. There's a bunch of teams. I was on a different podcast called The Dirt. Me and Gray Robertson, he's the host of Out of the Box Pod. We come together every Wednesday night. And you know what? We just yap. We talk about anything and everything. And one of the things we spoke about on that pod was just the different teams. And I ran him through a little challenge. I made him list out his top five and then the top movie that correlates it. And one thing he said that was pretty interesting about Florida, which I think is noteworthy to mention, is they're a team, they started off hot, kind of had a lull, and we're starting to see the upswing from them. They are a postseason team. And a lot of teams in SEC, that is where they get really big or they shrivel and they shrink. I think these next few weeks are going to be big determiners in how does the rankings fall, not just for SEC tournament, but postseason, because that's where eyes are starting to turn. You can't get too far ahead and go, oh my gosh, am I going to host? No. But you do have those numbers in mind. You are peeking at it if you're a coach. You are noticing, okay, I know that every game, every series is important, but we have to make a strong push. We have to go all out. I'm going to raise the stakes. I'm going to be willing to take a little bit bigger risk. I'm going to push my team a little bit harder coming up to this series. We're going to find just a little bit more that we can be prepping and getting ready, because this is it. This is the big final push as you head into the tail end of SEC conference play. Some really, really big moves coming up this weekend. But before we get started on that, just a quick rundown on the standings. So Texas A&M leading the conference 13-4. Oklahoma is 13-5. Texas is 13-5. Tennessee, they're 12-6. But they have had wins, series wins over both Oklahoma and Texas. So that is huge whenever it comes down to it. Florida, they're 11-7. Arkansas, 10-8. South Carolina, 10-8 as well. LSU, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State are all in a tie, 9-9. Alabama is 8-10 in conference play. Kentucky is 6-12. Georgia is 6-14. Missouri is 4-14. And Auburn, they are 4-17 in conference play. There's a lot to unpack there, but I think for me, the two teams that really, really stand out to me, Arkansas and South Carolina, being able to get over that cusp, because you have A&M, Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, Florida. They are fighting for this space. And we've seen it a lot throughout the year. They've been fighting for these top spots, but they're well within the top spots. Teams like Arkansas, South Carolina, they're fighting to get past that bubble. They're right on that border, and you got to get up there if you're one of those teams. Arkansas, especially for me, is the last several years, that has been their kryptonite. They struggle, they get there, and then Supers comes, Regionals comes, and they falter a little bit. And I think with the addition, I sue me, blame me, I don't care. I'm a huge DJ Gasso fan. I think he's a great hitting coach. I got to have him as a GA whenever I was at Oklahoma. He, talk about softball IQ, talk about learning for the game. He knows what he's doing because he's constantly searching, learning, growing, testing, making sure that this is the best plan forward. This is not just the best plan for this one hitter, but it also applies to this hitter. How can I get my mindset tougher? How can I push myself beyond these boundaries, these limits that I've placed on myself? How can I get a little bit better? I'm really curious how that translates over to his hitters whenever postseason comes through, whenever end of conference tournament play comes. It's a whole another world whenever you enter. As soon as conference ends and tournament season begins, it's a whole nother world. It's a clean slate. You can do whatever you want to do. It's a blessing and a curse for some teams, but rise up to the challenge, embrace it. Around the SEC, kind of some headlines that you guys have. Dominant performances, record-setting freshmen. I mean, they're doing phenomenal in the SEC. And a perfect game that shut down competition. So Kaylee Wyckoff in Arkansas, she's co-player of the week. She batted 750 in 3 non-conference wins. But like 750 is insane. I just, hello. She tied her career high in hits. She has 14 doubles on the year, 6 most in program history. Coco Woolley, obviously, you guys got to see and meet her. She's phenomenal. She was a co-player of the week as well with Wyckoff. She hit 700 in the Missouri series, and Missouri's a sneaky team. They're the team that steals one away. I said this last week, and whenever I saw that Missouri got the win over A&M, I was like, there it is. There it is. I knew it. But to have a sleeper team like Missouri and to hit 700, chef's kiss. Just that is phenomenal. So I think that being able to maintain that, especially whenever Coco talked about coming out of a slump and being able to handle that and have the mindset and the presence to go, okay, let me take a breath. Let me reset. Okay, I'm back in it. And come back hitting 700. I mean, that's phenomenal. She had an RBI double that sparked 7th inning rally in game 1. 3 RBIs, 2 slaps, 900 slugging. I mean, 1,000 fielding. Like, she had a phenomenal weekend. Arkansas had a pitcher of the week, threw a perfect game and a 5 inning win over Colorado State. Just 46 pitches to retire 15 straight. That's Rae's Berlin. She had the first perfect game of her career, which is, man, to have a perfect game underneath your belt. I mean, there's nothing like that. That is just phenomenal. Taylor Schumacher, she's at Florida. She is the freshman of the week. Hit 500 against Alabama. She had 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, and 3 runs scored. She set that Florida's freshman doubles record with 16 this season. There's a lot. There's a lot of talent that's coming up and has been showing out. And as freshmen, you're not a freshman anymore. At this point in the season, I think by end of February, beginning of March, you're not a freshman. But really, at this point, you're not a freshman anymore. You've been through it. You've seen it. You've traveled. Take it all in. Just go and run with it. And that's what we're seeing. Some trending stats and rankings. Texas A&M, they had the best overall record, 40-6. They're riding 13-4 in SEC. Arkansas, 4-game win streak. Florida is 10-8 in SEC play, but they're climbing after the Alabama win series. And Georgia, they're leading the SEC with 18 home wins. I think that's important to note as we get into SEC tournament talks. It's going to be hosted at Georgia. Most home wins and conference tournaments going to be hosted at your home field. Just saying, that's a huge, huge advantage. And being comfortable in that home environment, that's going to be big. Curious for you guys, make sure to comment, but who do you think is the SEC player of the year? Who's your pick right now? Right now, I would say it would either be Bree Ellis from Arkansas. Like, she is just phenomenal. Tegan Kavan at Texas. Schumacher at Florida, like what she's been doing, she's absolutely shoving. You know, there's a lot of athletes that I see them, I think it, and I'm like, man, I'm just glad that I'm not on this picking committee because there's a lot of talent going on. But as always, I am your host, Nicole Mendez. I will see you guys next week. Some really big series coming up this weekend. You have Texas at Oklahoma. You have some really, really big ones, but that's the one that I'm keeping my eye on as we get going into play. As always, I am your host, Nicole Mendez. But before I leave you, let's just talk and round everything up with the final schedule that we're going to see this weekend. Big ones, a lot of big ones. You're going to have Arkansas and A&M playing. That is huge, huge, huge. A&M, they have a lot to prove. They're going to be in the top eight no matter what. But, man, what they've been doing this year in Arkansas, they're trying to get in the bubble. They get this win, you're in the bubble. You're in the bubble. That is a big goal for you. Then you have Florida at LSU. That is going to be a fun, fun series. I mean, talk about two scrappy teams, a lot of talent, just battling it out. And then for me, I am looking forward to this. Man, this was one of my favorite series whenever I played in college. It's always fun to watch. It's a rematch of the past several years of the national championship. You have Texas and Oklahoma, number 3, Texas, number 4, Oklahoma. It's going to be a good one. What a great weekend. I can't wait to watch some softball. I don't know about y'all. I unfortunately will not be able to be out in Norman watching that game, but I will be calling a game this weekend on Sunday with ESPN. So I will be watching on my phone and on the TV with everybody else. Make sure you guys pick up your phones, open up your TVs, watch on your laptops, but watch the games that are on TV. It does an insane amount of viewership. It helps spike those numbers up, and the more those numbers go up, the more networks go, okay, we got to carry this game. Hey, we have to show this. So every game counts. Even if you're not watching it, just put it on in the background. It's a big benefit for all these teams out here. But I'm your host, Nicole Mendez. This is Diamond in the South, and I will see you guys next week.